Shall we pray? Father, open our eyes to what we are supposed to do to give glory to your name and help us to do the utmost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, on this, at this time, may I start with a book. I'm not promoting it because it's out of print. We printed it more than 20 years ago, but I just want to, because today is Mother's Day, and it the article that I wrote captured what I did when I mean, in my mothering. First, this is a miracle book, because if you have your outline with you, I did say that the two main things that we are focusing today is, firstly, acknowledge God's given role in our lives, and secondly, bequeath the fullest potential of our service to others so Jesus will be glorified. When we wrote and we compiled this book of testimonies of ladies with different joys and sorrows, we didn't anticipate as to how it will be. It's just we want to share our story. And the story that I wrote is To Work or Not to Work. And it's about the story of my mothering. And I'm an only child. And I did better than my mother because I have two children, two sons. And I have been unemployed but overworked. And I always say that I was never on autopilot because every day is a different challenge. And one of the things I wrote here in summary, I said, I have had no problems with substitute caregivers because I never had. Except for my mother, who was a widow then, when I gave birth, she managed to fly from the Philippines to help me take care of my children. I originally came from the Philippines, but I've been here since 1975. But I've never learned Mandarin yet. Anyway, that was one of the things that I will be sharing with you. I said I was an only child. I did have half-sister and two half-brothers. They have both passed, they're all passed on now, but they are much older than me because their mother died during the war. And so when my father remarried and I'm the only child in the second marriage, my siblings have grown, married, and living somewhere else. So I literally grew up by myself. That's why I'm very fond of dogs and cats, because I have no sisters or brothers to play with. And in my life, I knew that I had to take care of my parents. And I never knew that later on, when I attended a conference entitled Man Made New, based on the book of John Stott, my perception of Christianity was revitalized. I realized how far I was with the Lord. But then when I committed my life to the Lord more fully at the time, soon after the Lord called me to do full-time work. And that's never in my plan because I wanted to earn more so that I can give a good living for my parents. And so what I did at the time, I called it creative disobedience. You know, I'm an active member in the church, and what I did, I made myself busy in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher, I was in the choir, I was in the missions committee, and I write to missionaries, but they all didn't know that I am living a life of creative disobedience. Because I thought by being very busy in the church, I could placate God so that he will not call me into full time. So that I'm very useful for the church. So don't call me full time. I can do all my Christian things on a weekend. But as I learned more about God's word, it's not meant to be. As Jesus' own word said, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. The work that I did was man-made. I was very busy.
How can I even encourage missionaries to keep on in their work when I myself am trying to evade mission work? So it was a facade that I had. Maybe to others I have a halo, but I knew deep inside me it wasn't. I was living a life of disobedience. And I even told, one of the things I didn't do, I didn't share the call to any of my friends because they might pray for me. I believe in prayer. And so if I ask them to pray for me, they might pray that I may be a missionary, which I didn't. Anyway, to go back to the point of doing our best, I soon learned it, that it is important that we live lives which will glorify God's name. When I compiled with this among my friends, I didn't know that it will bless at least one person that I know of. About 20 years ago, I happened to be in Toronto, and lo and behold, I saw one face which looks familiar to me. It was one of my students before, when I was still on staff of InterVarsity. And she was with her two daughters. She said she just came from a doctor's clinic and getting a lift from the husband on the way to their home in Mississauga. And she said, so I asked her, why did you go to the doctor? She said she had a blood disease. She was a nurse, but she couldn't work as a nurse because she always would faint. And so she was off work for a while. I was burdened to give her a copy of this. And so I mailed it. When I came back to Singapore, I mailed it to her. And I did meet her again the following year. And when I asked her, how were you? She told me the story about this book. It's titled Not Alone. Of course, we are with God. I mean, our life is guided by the Lord. She said when she started to read this book, she suddenly felt warm from head to middle of the body, and she doesn't know what's happening to her. She took some tea and continued reading, and she finished it in a day. Cut the story short, when it was her turn to go back to the doctor asked her, did you go to see another doctor? Because you're completely healed. And so the Lord can use anyone and anything for the glory of God. So as the second portion that I want to share with you, bequeath the fullest potential of our service to others. Whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Now, today is Mother's Day, so inevitably I'll mention some mother's name. Of course, one is Elizabeth, and she was barren for a long time, but nothing is impossible with God. She became a mother in her old age. And the counterpart of it, her cousin, who was just maybe late teens, was engaged but not yet married. And lo and behold, the angel told her, you're going to be a mother. And being a woman full of faith, she burst into the praise of God. And we call Magnificat. And she knew. And her life is full of the Lord, must have been. And so when something impossible came her way, the announcement that she will bear a child, she just burst into praise. Now, I know God's given role for women, we are supposed to be like a helpmeet. But when I became a missionary, I prepared myself not to get married because I was a missionary of my church on loan to InterVarsity. And lo and behold, 80% of the missionaries in InterVarsity are females. And the 20% are men who's not interested in marriage engrossed in what they're doing. So I told the Lord at the time, Lord, if I'm going to get married, let me get married at 27. After that, please give me the gift of celibacy. So I will be more focused on what I do. And lo and behold, I thought I'd be giving a try when I became a I'm a missionary to InterVarsity. I thought I'd give it a try for 2 years or 2.5 years. But by the second year, I felt inadequate in ministering to university students because my training is public health and I'm handling scriptures to them. And so one of the retreats that we had, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, do you want me to continue on? Or can I stop after 2 years or something like that? I was waiting for an answer, which is yes or no. But God, in his way, in a way that is I'm not very familiar with, I saw a moving picture. I saw myself walking down the slope. We were in a remote place by the sea. It's a campsite. It's not a hotel, posh hotel situation. And I saw myself walking down the slope with 2 boys, with a man who's got a army haircut, Chinese looking with thick glasses. And I said, what is that? And the public health in me tells me I'm hallucinating. So I went to the speaker, husband and wife, but I went to the wife. I said, I am not on drugs, but I'm hallucinating. Because you see, I came from a church where we don't do Holy Spirit things. I don't know what's a vision. I know what is a dream. When you're asleep, you dream. But this one, I was awake. And I see a living dream in front of me, moving picture. Anyway, that missionary assured me and said, if your heart is truly seeking the Lord can speak to you in creative ways. And so I took it at that. But then I said, but who's that person? This was around 1970s. Many of the people are Beatles inspired with long hair. And I don't know anyone with short hair. All the more with army haircut hair, very, very short. And so I never knew what it was. Actually, it's only when I came here to Singapore in 1975 to study theology that I learned that the person with the army haircut was my classmate, and he was a dentist in the army, and he became my husband. And God is gracious that I got married 1 week after my 27th birthday. But that's beside the point. Okay. What is a God-given role for women? We have to be a helper suitable for the men intellectually, morally, and physically. And children are given to us as a gift from the Lord. Motherhood is a privilege. I was sharing with the earlier congregation that when I accompanied my daughter-in-law for the scanning, when she was the ultrasound, when I saw 2 hearts beeping in the screen and the doctor was explaining to us what it was, my tears just flowed because I could see a miracle in the making. And now my grandchildren, they are twins, one boy, one girl, they are now 6 months old. And so I saw like the hand of God molding. But of course, the responsibility continues on, because the bundle of joy can be a bundle of problems as well. We need to do our task, our co-worker in creation. Well, we are all unique. All of us here are unique. But what makes us unique? First is nature, our genes. Like when my granddaughter is crying, my son said, Mom, she looks like you when she's crying. Now that is genetics. Then nurture, you know, not only the nature that we are unique, the nurturing is also different. That's why we need, we come from different culture. Like my father's position, what he has during the first marriage belongs to the first children. What he has in second marriage belongs to me. But there's nothing much in the second marriage. But anyway, it made my leaving home easier because I have nothing to take care of. Anyway, that's a sideline of that. So nature, nurture, but then the third important thing that makes us different is our choices. Sometimes we make right choice, sometimes wrong choice. We were asked to help not too long ago a lady who just bought a new home with a sister, but they experienced some poltergeist situation. Doors were opening, closing, and when she asked the sister, "Did you use the toilet during the night?" He said, "No, we just moved in. We are so dead tired, we were asleep the whole time." But she also experienced when she, from the lift, she was opening her door, there was a hand that held her hand. And when she looked back, there was nobody there. And so she couldn't sleep, and she's a foreign talent. And so she shared with someone who contacted us and said, "Can you help in the house blessing or house cleansing of this lady's house?" Because she just couldn't sleep because of all the movement in their flat at night. That was Wednesday night. In Tuesday morning, as I was singing, having my quiet time, I was singing about the peace of God, and I remember that lady. I said, "Lord, I don't know her from Adam, but I knew she would need your kind of peace." Because, of course, if you cannot sleep, if doors are opening, closing, and there's nobody there, you won't be able to sleep. And then the Lord showed me a picture of something like a Superman or, you know, the big man, the green man. I forgot the name for the moment. I'm 69. And I saw this figure holding, with a big hand, holding the building. So I phoned my friend, who is a contact of this person. "Can you ask her, does she have any amulets for protection?" And apparently she has. She has two. One she bought from Hong Kong, another one she bought from Singapore. Then by the time Saturday, we arranged for Saturday to go to her home, she has more things because she, during holiday, she loves to travel and she buys things to protect her. Then I learned at the time that apparently her mother is a Christian, but she chose to follow her friends and she left the faith as well. Anyway, through this ministry that we had, the house cleansing that we had, through the reading of God's word, she came to Christ, and now she's very busy with Alpha. So choices that we make, but then the grace of God can define the person. So what do we bequeath to others? Well, Jesus' own word said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." At the moment, I'm mothering mother, and it is not very easy. My mother will be 96 in 12 days' time. Sometimes she will tell the nurse, "Oh, my sister is here. Oh, my sister's daughter is here." I will never know who I am in her thinking at that point of time. But I thank God, if you have the Lord with you, no wonder the Bible tells us, train up a child the way he should go, so that when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Well, as children of God, we should also train ourselves to know God's word, to love God's word, to obey God's word. So in our old age, especially when the mental faculties will go, the Lord can still minister to us. Like, for example, sometimes when I visit my mother, she inevitably will ask, "How are my boys?" She thought they are little boys. I said, "No, they are adults now. They are working. They are at work. That's why she cannot come with me." We visit her about 10 a.m. in the morning. And she said, "Be thankful." Oh, initially she said, "I hope they give to the Lord what is due." Well, I said, "I pray so." Another time she asked the same question. She said, "I hope they give their tithes to the Lord." I said, "Well, I pray so." And at other times when I told her they are not here, they have grown up, they are at work, she would remind me, "Be thankful to God. They did well, though you didn't bully them to study." Well, I thought that's a compliment to me, that although I didn't bully them to study, the boys did well. And then they said that they know how to answer interviews. It never occurred to me how important interviews are, but my mother did tell me it is important. At 95, 96, she's telling me this. And they said that, be thankful to God. They got the job very fast. Others would have to wait a long time. And then, at other times, the Lord has prompted my mother in prayer. Like last December, my younger son, who's been teaching history, but that day he went to office, he's now in the curriculum department. He went to work, but I didn't tell my mother that that evening he'll go to Portugal for his holiday. And so I told, I gave my mother, as usual, something to eat and something to drink. And before she ate it, she prayed. So I thought she's thanking God for the food. But what she did, she prayed for my son Matthew, pray for his safety in travel, pray for the people he will meet, pray for the places that he will go to. Then I told my husband, do you know what she's praying for? She's praying for the things I never mentioned to her. How would she know that Matthew will go away that night to fly for his holiday in Europe? It must be the Lord. And then the Lord reminded me, if the Lord can speak to Balaam's donkey, how much more to a human being when we have the Spirit of God? And so I encourage all of us, let us love God's word, let us love God, and bequeath the best that we can in the service of the King. Just 2 weeks ago, we have my husband's cousin, who's a dentist, a lady dentist, came for a visit from Orange County in California. She still does dentistry twice a week. She'll be 90 in November. But patients still come to her. She's strong. I think stronger than me. And she said, when I asked her, do you still do your pancake making? Because she is part of the Dorcas group of ladies. It was read to us just now, the story of Dorcas. And they call their group Dorcas ladies in that church, because once a month she will make pancakes for the homeless. She will make pancakes from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. Because the when it's their turn, different churches take turns in feeding the homeless and letting them use the facilities in order that they can have a shower. And she said she's still doing it from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. She said she'll be cooking pancake nonstop, because the homeless will always go to the church on that particular Sunday. I think it's the last Sunday of the month. And so Dorcas, an example of Dorcas, there are many other ladies' groups that are named after Dorcas. Because Dorcas, as it was read to us just now, she was full of good works and acts of charity. And it's not that she favors the widows, but in those days, in Joppa, there are many widows. Because it's a port city, and the husbands lost their lives because of their seafaring work. And in those days, the maritime gadgets are not as good as we have now. And so people suffer, people die in shipwreck. But I have to end soon. I always tell the other congregation, you know, for a woman, terminal facilities is always a problem, because we have so many things. And in my 40 years of motherhood, there are a lot of experiences, but I just end with a few of this. We have challenges, health challenges. My younger son is G6PD deficient, and at that time I didn't understand what it was, but our pediatrician was very kind to explain to me. He said, oh, there are famous men who had G6PD deficiency. One of them is Einstein. And so there are many Jewish people also with G6PD deficiency. And so she more or less enlightened me about that I managed to help others who had G6PD deficiency. And because of the nature of our job, we had experienced spiritual attacks as well, especially when the children were young, and we had the Life in the Spirit seminar in the churches in Singapore. And one time, for example, I had the prompting go and to the boys' room. I saw my son fast asleep, but bleeding profusely from the nose. Nosebleed. Normally, he will have nosebleed if he has eaten a lot and jumping in the sun. But this one, in the cool room, the nose was just bleeding and he was oblivious to it. He was fast asleep. And so I paced down the corridor. I cleaned him a bit and paced down the corridor. And I told the evil one, you think we will stop declaring what you're doing? All the more we will tell the people the works that you are doing. And on another occasion, my husband was also in another house group. My younger son, who was just about 7 months, I was about to prepare his bath and to switch on the water heater. Before I switch on, I heard a thud. So I went back to the room. I saw him on the floor. And how did he climb out of the cot, which is quite high? And so when I lifted him up and put him in front of the mirror, trying to see whether anything bleeding or anything broken, when I asked, how are you? Are you okay? I mean, of course, I'm not expecting a word from him. He was just 7 months. But he told me, shock. That was his first word. He was in shock. But thank God, he's the one whom my mother prayed for when he went for holiday in Peru, in Portugal. So God does help us through, see us through. And then the other problem as well, like when my son was secondary school, he said, Mommy, I want to study abroad for university. I said, that's a good idea, but we can't afford it. I said, go and do your best, and we will pray hard. And we did. And thank God, both boys were on scholarship because we can't afford what they wanted. But God is gracious. But we have to pinpoint as well. Like when my son said, Mommy, my classmate's mother is very cruel. I said, how can you say that? She has tuition teacher for all the subjects for my classmate. I said, well, for her, it's love. I said, don't worry, we can't afford it. I can't give you tuition teachers for all the subjects. Then I said, but how can she have that when the son is supposed to be in the gifted program? They don't need it. But, you know, well, we hear of the book, it says Lion Mom or Tiger Mom. And there's a counterpart here, Lion Mom, there's a show. But I believe in being a tiger bum. We must soothe our children in all their ups and downs, in all their worries and cares. We have to be around for them. And I will end with this. One of the days when my son showed me his report card, she asked me, are you happy with my report, with his report card? So I asked back the question, are you happy? Because our role is to give you the opportunities we can afford. Your role is to take it on. So it's up to you. So we never tell them how much grade or how high grade they must have, but we pray hard. So as I said, I call myself unemployed but overworked, but I thank God for all the opportunities of mothering that I have enjoyed, and I'm thankful to God that for the experience that we have. So again, to end, acknowledge God-given role in our lives and bequeath the fullest potential of our service to others. And it's not necessarily for your own children only. There are many needy people wherever we are. So extend a helping hand to them, to the glory of God. Shall we end with prayer? Before you, there's the prayer of St. Francis and Assisi. Lord, indeed, make me an instrument of your peace, and in our lives be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.